The Treasury Salute, starring Melvin Douglas in a specially transcribed drama, I'm from Missouri. And now the Treasury Salute. I'm from Missouri.
My name is Howard A. Rusk. I'm a doctor and I come from Missouri. Maybe that's the reason all this happened. Back in Brookfield, Missouri, in the county I came from, there's an old saying.
I don't believe anything I hear and only half of what I see. And I won't bet on that.
They say if you follow a man from Missouri long enough, something's bound to happen. Well, I'm from Missouri, and this is what happened. It began about 2 years ago. There were just a few of them at first, back from overseas. You'd meet one on the train, pass one on the street corner with a shoulder patch of the 14th Air Force in China or the 5th Air Force in the South Pacific. They turned up in the hospitals with a shoulder ripped open by flak, a body broken with malaria. They were different from the men who took sick in training. It was something in the eyes. Something tired and quiet and bitter. They were all tight inside, ready to bust wide open. We called them the hot boys. How are you coming, Sergeant? I said, how are you coming along?
I'm not coming at all.
Where were you, Sergeant?
Africa. I was a gunner. I was shot in the thigh.
Tell me, Sergeant, after you get out of the Army, what do you want to do?
What can a man with one leg do?
What'd you do before the Army?
I was a truck driver. You're not going to stand there on your two good legs and tell me I can wheel one of those 10-ton babies down a highway with one leg.
No, of course not. But you've come to the right place. Because we're going to find out what you can do with one leg. We'll check your background and find out what you want to do. And then we'll give you the training to do it.
I'll believe it when it happens.
Good enough. I'm from Missouri myself. It wasn't easy. It took weeks, day after day. First, the simple exercises in bed.
One, two, get those arms up all the way. That's the boy.
It was slow, heartbreaking work. But he wanted to get well so badly. And that helped.
All right, let's try these crutches. Out of bed. Let's go.
And after the first unsteady, awkward steps, confidence began coming back slowly. Slowly. In the classes, in the workshop.
Hand me that wrench, will you, Doctor?
It's over there on the table. Go on, walk over and get it. No, without the crutches. What do you think we gave you that new leg for? Go on.
How am I doing?
Beautiful.
Hey, Doc, if you run into anybody who needs a truck driver, just let me know.
In 1943, we began to set up special convalescent hospitals for men coming back from combat. They were different from any hospitals you ever saw. Not just lines of beds and cabinets full of medical instruments. These were a combination college and workshop, town meeting and country club. Everything from typing to tennis, radio repair, trout fishing, whirlpool baths and sun lamps and special exercise machines for the shattered arms, the smashed legs, and treatment for the hidden wounds, too. The wounds that showed no scars. The weary minds stretched tight with the memory of battle. Sit down, O'Hara.
What do you want?
Nothing, just to talk to you.
What about?
It says on your farm here, operational fatigue. Do you know what that means?
Sure. Flak happy. I can't eat, I can't sleep. Sometimes my hands shake till I wonder if I'm losing my marbles.
Why?
You're the doctor, you tell me why.
All right, I will. When you think back to combat, What's the first thing you remember?
If you're looking for any fancy hero stories, you can forget it. I'll tell you what I remember. Being scared. Before a mission, after a mission, scared all the time.
Okay. Everybody gets scared one time or another. That's perfectly normal. Only you had it day after day, steady, no relief. It just keeps piling up inside of you. All that fear and tension. When you finish combat, it doesn't stop it. The fear keeps piling up. It's got to explode. It's got to cut loose somewhere. Those dreams and those shaking hands. That's the fear breaking loose.
So now what?
You know anything about sandhogs? Guys who work in the tunnels deep under the ground? When they finish work, they never come right up to the surface. They've been working under that pressure, so when they come up, they get into a decompression chamber. The pressure's eased slowly. It takes time. Okay. That's what a convalescent hospital is for you. This is your decompression chamber.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you won't get tied up in red tape around here, and you won't get the runaround. You're off the GI assembly line now. You have a personal physician, a family doctor. Anything that's bothering you, any problems, you bring them to me.
You mean medical problems?
Any problem's a medical problem. You bring them to me.
Doc, I gotta have a pass. I need a 3-day pass. I need it right away.
Well, you've only been here 2 days.
Yeah, I know, but I gotta have a pass right away. It's family trouble. You said if I ever had any problems...
Okay, I'll get you the pass. Oh, Mike, I see you made it back all right.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing lying in bed in the middle of the afternoon? Feel sick?
No.
Did you say something?
No, Doc, I didn't say a thing. Okay, Junior, take it easy.
Holy smoke. What's that baby doing in your bed?
It's my son. I got home on pass. My wife was sick. She had to go to the hospital. We didn't have any relatives or any place to leave the kids, so you said if I had any problems, bring them to you. Okay, Doc, there's my problem.
That was the idea and the strength and the soul of the Army Convalescent Program. Treat more than the injury. Treat the man. And thousands of anonymous doctors and teachers, physical therapists, psychologists and nurses worked through the long days and lonely nights to bring that idea to life. It was a strange road, an uncharted course, and the only map we could travel by was human courage. And our compass was belief in the strength of man. How crushed and broken can a man be and still come back to a useful life? We didn't know. We had to learn. We had to learn from a kid from Alabama. He was a tall, skinny kid named Pete, a fighter pilot. He crashed in Italy, and when they finally dragged him out of the wreckage, there was hardly enough left to still call a man. A smashed arm and leg, a splintered collarbone, and a broken back. Paralyzed from the waist down. And he lay there very quietly on his hospital bed. His face turned to the window, watching the wind in the trees outside.
Doc, do me a favor, will you? Go to the window. There's a tree over there on the right. An oak tree. I can only see the end of one branch, but I know it's an oak. When I was a kid in Alabama, there was an oak just outside my window. You see the tree, Doc?
I see it.
Would you tell me what it looks like?
No. You really want to know what it looks like, Pete? Okay, find out for yourself. Walk over to the window and find out. I know you can't walk. You're paralyzed. Can you sit up in bed, Pete?
I guess so.
How many times? Sit up and then lay down and then sit up again.
I don't know. It hurts to sit up.
I know it hurts. Do it anyhow. Do it 5 times.
I can't.
You don't care whether you see that tree or not.
What's that got to do with?
Maybe you can walk and maybe you can't, Pete. I don't know. Nobody knows until you try. But you have to try. You have to start. Sit up in bed 5 times, 10 times.
But it hurts.
Then maybe try the crutches.
My legs won't hold up.
We'll make you braces. Sure, it's going to hurt. There'll be pain until you feel like you're breaking in half, and there'll be exhaustion. Nobody's saying it's easy. It's up to you. You've got to decide whether you want to live the rest of your life in this bed or whether you want to be out there in the sunshine among people, making a world for yourself. I can't decide it for you, Pete. It's strictly between you and the oak tree. He was just a kid from Alabama. And his name was Pete.
One, two.
He was just a kid who wanted to live and walk the streets and smell the sweet fall mornings.
These braces, they feel like they weigh a ton.
And slowly, step by step, with the braces and the crutches and the special massage and the weary, deadly straining, walking along holding the special handrails, forcing the steps. Slowly, the kid from Alabama who wanted so much to live began to live again.
20 steps. I counted them. 20 steps.
That kid from Alabama taught us a lesson bright as the North Star, true as the sun rising. The lesson that thousands of crippled bodies who were given up for lost could be made ready for life again if only they had the courage and the help and the understanding. And this weapon we built on the anvil of war, this training of broken bodies and tired minds, is not only a sword for battle, but a light for peace.
These are $64 questions, and every American knows the answer. What is it that you can buy in banks, post offices, schools, factories, and offices? What is it that pays you back $4 for every $3 you invest? What is it that 85 million Americans own and is the safest investment in the world? That's right, United States savings bonds. Today, even after the war is over, more than 25 million Americans continue on the payroll savings plan. Each payday, they save at least 10 cents out of every dollar in the pay envelope. That's why we can be certain that in the future, we're going to have a strong, worthwhile, prosperous America. The United States Treasury thanks Melvin Douglas and the other distinguished artists who appeared on this specially transcribed program. The Treasury Salute was written by Millard Lampel and directed by Mark Goodson. The music was under the direction of Mark Warnow. This is Kenneth Banghart speaking. Remember, buy United States savings bonds and hold them. They're an investment in the future, your country's future, and your future.